Good morning. Welcome to worship on this last Sunday of end time, which is also known as Christ the King Sunday. With that in mind, I have a personal question for you. How is your love life? With Jesus, that is. Who loves more in this relationship? At times, we may doubt the love God has for us, but rest assured, His love for us does not change. Our love for Him, on the other hand, well, that is why we are here. To be reminded of His love for us and to grow in our love for Him who has freed us from something and for something. And so through our worship today, we trust that God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will build us up in our life as we focus in on His love for you, for all of us. We turn our attention to our first hymn. It's in the red hymnal, hymn 369. We'll sing the first three verses. This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and please stand as we continue on page 3. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you, and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to His will.
Amen.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
We pray. Lord Jesus Christ, by your victory, you have broken the power of the evil one. Fill our hearts with joy and peace as we look with hope to that day when every creature in heaven and earth will acclaim you King of Kings and Lord of Lords to your unending praise and glory. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. Our Savior Jesus Christ commanded baptism when he said, "Go and make disciples of all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." All of us are born into this world with a deep need for baptism. From our parents, we inherit a sinful nature. We are without true fear of God and true faith in God and are condemned to eternal death. But Jesus took away our sin by giving his life on the cross. At our baptism, he clothes us with the robe of his righteousness and gives us a new life. Our sinful nature need not control us any longer. We recall what baptism means for our daily lives as we hear and speak these words. Baptism means that the sinful nature in us should be drowned by daily sorrow and repentance, and that all its evil deeds and desires be put to death. It also means that a new person should daily arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. In obedience to the command of our Lord and trusting in his promise, you have brought this child to be baptized. Jesus told us, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." It is in baptism that God grants the new life of forgiveness, joy, and peace to little children. By the power of God's word, this gracious water of life washes away sin, delivers from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe. Receive the sign of the cross on the head and heart to mark you as a redeemed child of Christ. At this time, receive a candle from the Christ candle, signifying the fact that Christ, who is the light of the world, through this gift of baptism, enables us to be lights in this world, reflecting his light in and through us. Colin Michael Shupp, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has forgiven all your sins. By your baptism, you are born again and made a dear child of your Father in heaven. May God strengthen you in your baptismal grace all the days of your life. Peace be with you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, our Lord commands that we teach his precious truths to all who are baptized. Christian love, therefore, urges all of us, especially parents, sponsors, and witnesses, to assist in whatever manner possible, so that Colin may remain a child of God until death. If you are willing to carry out this responsibility, then answer yes, as God gives me strength.
Yes, as God gives me strength.
Let us pray. Merciful Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessing of baptism, by which you offer and grant the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Help us to regard our baptism as the robe of righteousness we are to wear all the days of our life. Look with special favor on Colin and grant him a rich measure of your Spirit, that he may grow in faith and godly living. Make us willing to carry out our responsibilities to those who have been baptized, so that all of us may finally come to the blessed joys of heaven. Through Jesus our Lord. Amen. We continue now with the singing of hymn 297 to mark this special occasion. 297. On this last Sunday of end time, Christ the King Sunday, our first reading comes to us from Daniel chapter 7, pointing out the fact, let there be no mistake about it, that Jesus knew what his role would be and always has been and will continue to be. And so he truly is worthy of our worship and honor. We hear these words, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worship him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." The word of the Lord.
Heaven found me.
Another title, in addition to Christ the King, for Jesus is also the Alpha and Omega. That we are reminded of this in our second lesson from Revelation chapter 1. Think about what that means. The fact that He is the Alpha and Omega who loves us and has freed us. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve His God and Father, to Him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him, and all peoples on earth will mourn because of Him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The word of the Lord. At this time, we're going to sing verse 1 of hymn 195. Verse 1, hymn 195. Please rise for the gospel reading. Take from the gospel of St. John, the 18th chapter, pointing out the fact that Christ as King not only has rule over the physical, but over all things, seen and unseen. And so again, worthy of our honor and praise. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus and asked Him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. At this time, if there are children who want to come forward for devotion, definitely welcome to do so. You're not going to be alone. You got to come up with those lighted shoes. Not today, Zoe. Nice. We're all kids at heart. How you doing today? Good. Good to see you. Oh. Good. All right, what do we got here? So everybody knows what it is.
Picture.
A picture of what?
A stoplight.
A picture of a stoplight. What colors are on this picture?
There's
Sweet. Nice. Purpose of a stoplight, right? You've probably been in a car when it's a, what? When it's a red light, what are they supposed to do? Means they go faster. Yeah, great. Excellent. Right? So the orange or the yellow means that it's going to turn red. So, yeah, slow down, prepare to stop. Right? The stoplights are there for our safety. And then when it's green light, we should be able to go. But before you cross the intersection, right, you should look, make sure there's no other cars missing a red light. The Bible talks about the fact that God is love. Now, when we talk about God is love, which color of the light do you think would describe God's love for you and for me and for all of them? Which color do you think describes God's love?
Probably white.
White? Of these three? Probably the green. Why? Okay. Does his love for us stop? Does his love for us get put on hold? His love is always green. It's always a go, right? That's where our Bible reading we just heard a few moments ago said, God is love. And out of love has freed us. What has he freed us from? Yeah, from our sins, right? And the Bible says, while we were still sinners, God sent his son Jesus to die for us. That's a green light. And God has called us through baptism to be his own, through his word to be his own. Again, an indicator that God's love is a green light. And God tells us to show his love, which is a green light, to others. And he uses you and me to be a green light in the world. To always reflect his love for us to others. What are some ways we can love others? Beautiful. Fall down, help them up, ask them if they need help. Any other ways we can show love, a green light to people? Yeah, you know. So let us give thanks for the green light of God's love. Yeah, just the gift of life itself. Physical life and spiritual life in Jesus. So let's pray about that. God, we thank you for your love for us. A love clearly seen in the gift of your Son, Jesus, who has freed us from our sins and has freed us to love, to show your love for others. So as we see the stoplights and the green lights, may that be a reminder of your love for us and then how you want us to love others nonstop. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Thanks for coming up. Love is green. We'll continue with verses 2, 3, and 4 of hymn 195. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in great abundance, and this is possible from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Alpha and Omega, the King of kings and Lord of lords. We hear once again these words from our second lesson for today, from Revelation chapter 1. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the King of kings and Lord of lords, I invite you to open up the red hymnal to hymn 35. We're going to read together verse 1. Stanza 1 of hymn 35. We read,
of the Father's love begotten, ere the worlds began to be, he is Alpha and Omega, he the source, the end, the beginning. Of the things that are, that have been, and that future ears shall see, evermore and evermore.
What is this hymn verse saying to you? Just take a few seconds and ponder that to yourself. It is saying the same thing that John the Apostle recorded down for our benefit in Revelation 1. These words speak of a great love, of an amazing love, of an undeserved love, of an unending love. The source behind such a love is the God who has created us, the God who has existed before time as we have known it to be. The God who demands perfection. The God who met his demands through the gift of his own Son to the world who deserved and deserves him not. As we close out one church year and begin another next week, we see once again how closely connected the seasons of the church year are to each other, how each one builds on the next. At the heart of each of the seasons and of the church years is love. A love of God the Father, demonstrated clearly through the love of us by the gift of His Son. A love for a fallen world. Of God the Son's love for us, as He was willing to give of Himself for this fallen world. A love of God the Holy Spirit, as He is the one who makes the efforts to see that the benefits of the Son get worked into our hearts and in our minds. And so, as rightly pointed out this past Thanksgiving, at the top of our list of things to be thankful for is the love of God, and at the heart of His love is the blood of Jesus, His Son, by which we have been reconciled to God. And that, dear friends, is at the heart of the message of the holiday. A great number of people take the time to shop online for, or go into the store after the day of Thanksgiving, and look forward to Cyber Monday. People of God, people of the world, you have not been loved like this. That is, loved by God through Jesus. And this love has a hard-to-fathom result, and that is freed by God through Jesus. Is it safe to say that Thanksgiving and Christmas are about family? Families make efforts to come together on these two occasions, or at least try to reach out to family members. Why do families make such efforts to come together, braving the skies and the roads, wear expandable waistline pants at the dinner table, spend hundreds of dollars on gifts and food and other traditions associated with these two occasions? Why? Is it not because families have a love for family? And because of their love for family, a sense of belonging, emotions run high, excitement to see the children and grandchildren, perhaps not seen in a while. Sadness as well, as we reflect on gatherings that used to be, now that a particular loved one is no longer at the table with us. Both emotions are healthy and warranted, respectively. And there is something that can provide stability and strength and comfort through the sadness, as well as that can raise the excitement level even higher. And that is a love like you and I have not and will not experience from anyone or anywhere else or come to know on our own. Because of this greater love, we belong to a family that will remain together forever, though there may be a time of separation now. The desire to bring people together from different walks of life, that comes from God because of grace, an undeserved and an unequal love that He has for this world, that He created to be family to Him. It did not take long, though, for the family to want independence from their roots. And because of that selfish action, we, the rest of the family, have to live our lives here on earth in a constant state of unrest. Now, some of that unrest, because of that selfish gene pool that we have inherited, is fostered by us. Jealousy over why this person in the family got this from mom and or dad or from grandma, or why that sibling seems to have it all. Well, I do not. Or I am the one that has to take care of mom and dad. Jealousy is what fostered by Satan in the minds of Adam and Eve. so that they would go against God. He said to them, God is holding back on you. Don't let him, your creator, do that to you. Their guard was down. And life would not be the same for them then and for us, their family, to come. It should not take then a day of thanksgiving for us to appreciate family and all the blessings that we have been given, though some have been given more. It should not take a fire for us to appreciate how quickly life and possessions can be taken away from us. It should not take an illness for us to reach out to family or friends in an attempt to reconcile. Now, today is the day of thanksgiving, of reconciliation, of blessing. Tomorrow, if it comes, is also a day for such, of thanksgiving, of reconciliation, of blessing. Yet we know what today and tomorrow will also be filled with jealousy, fits of rage, discord, dissension, and the like. Why? At the center of our lack of appreciation, and then our desire to harm verbally or physically, is a lack of knowing and valuing the love like we cannot receive from anyone else. God in grace has loved us and continues to do so. The word love in our text is present tense, emphasizing that this is an ongoing love. It does not stop. Though we are not always worthy or deserving of such a life. In fact, all of us by nature start out our life not worthy or deserving of such a love. That is a difficult concept for some people. In fact, all of us by nature to grasp. We like to think of ourselves as being worthy, as being nice people and good people, deserving of love. The Apostle Paul in Romans 12 has this to say about that last concept. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. And then John writes in 1 John 4, we love because he, God, first loved us. It is this love which also led John to say, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. It is not that we are worthy or deserving. Rather, it is God who displays mercy on us and to us that makes this life worth living and doable and looking ahead. Because of God's grace, we have peace with Him. And we can have peace, that is, get along with one another, with the people around us. Again, by nature, each one of us wants our own desires to be carried out. Can you imagine what our family believers would be like if we did not have the love of God pumping through our veins in our heart? We would be a bunch of pouting people because we did not get our way. Rather than the willing people we are to put God's ways into practice, even though it may mean that someone else takes the lead in getting that project done or gets the credit, because we know at the end of the day, it is not about us, but about God. That is why we take great care to ensure our worship practices are not drawing attention to ourselves, but rather are drawing attention where they need to be. Where it needs to be, and that is on God. We are here today, for example, because we appreciate the love of God in our life and what has been given to us as a result of His great love for us, a love which we cannot experience in any other way or from any other person. We then want to soak up the peace that God gives to us for our lives. And lives that can only come by God's way of love through Jesus. It is said of Jesus in our text, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood. And it is also said, I, Jesus, am the Alpha and the Omega. In addition to this description of Jesus, don't overlook the presence and the description of God the Father and God the Holy Spirit in this text. The Father, together with Jesus as God and the Holy Spirit as God, has always existed. They did not come about with the start of time as we have come to know it, how it came to be. That's mind-blowing stuff, and yet how important it is and crucial to our existence. The Holy Spirit is also described as the seven spirits, as He is the one who bestows the gifts of God to all creation. Teamwork like we have and never will see. And so God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit does not change. His love for you, for each and every one of us, is ongoing even when we fall away from Him. Until our dying breath, He will continue to love us and use people in our life to reach out to us and get us back in sync with Him. It is a love that does not change. And so it is a love that does not look the other way when we go against His commandments, which are meant to protect their life and the lives of all people. It is a love we are able to know and experience and live because God the Son was willing to give of Himself in a way that no one else could or would. Read Romans 5 for more on that beautiful truth. While in flesh, here on earth, Jesus spoke the truth plainly. He served as a faithful witness to the need for a Savior and then why He had to come here on earth as the Savior. The Old Testament prophets foretold about Him. Jesus pointed to the fulfillment of those prophecies right there in the flesh. But people then had trouble with His witness because their hearts were more focused on me, myself, and I. A problem which pops up still way too often today. But Jesus offered up Himself for that sin too on that cross of Calvary. In fact, all sins we have and will yet commit have been taken care of when He died. That is, they will not be held against us in and through Christ. Such freedom from sin is not a license, though, to keep on sinning. The freedom from our sins' consequences by the Holy Spirit's working in us through the means of grace leads us to be responsible children of God. And so we wake up each day asking, how were we able to put the love that God has for us into practice, first and foremost? That freedom and that attitude is reflected then in our dealings with our spouse, with our children, with our fellow members, with our neighbors, with our co-workers, with complete strangers even. It is finding joy in putting Jesus and others ahead of me, myself, and I. It is not getting upset or throwing in the towel when I am overlooked at work or my opinion does not seem to matter. Our life is in God's hands and in His timing. Dear friends, this calls for an increase in trust. And that increase in trust comes through worship. Trust in Him who has called us to reign with Him now and forever. And while we are here on earth, we have the ability to reign with Him. Despite the trials and the letdowns and the disasters of life, such cannot separate us from the love that we have in God through Christ Jesus. Jesus, who is worthy of the title King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That King and that Lord will come back as promised. For those of us in Christ, no worries and a welcome sight. But Scripture makes it clear for those who are not in Christ, it will be a day of mourning as their reign of terror and selfishness will end. When you have doubts about your life, thinking it is going nowhere, Reread the words of verse 7. Then remember who wrote those words. Verse 8. You've got this. Because the one who's got you is the one who loves you like no one else can and ever will. And out of his love has given you a freedom, peace in the heart that cannot be found anywhere else and in any other way. He who loves you like this calls on you to trust in him at all times and then to worship him. As priests of God ourselves, go to him in prayer with what is on your heart and your mind, trusting in him and being content in his will to be done for us. And continually gather together like we are doing right now to show our unity and love for him, the one who loves us and has freed us, so that we can worship him now and into eternity. As we keep our worship focused on God, we benefit. We are better equipped to not keep his love to ourselves, but to pass that love on to others, friend and foe alike. The Bible talks about everyone being our neighbor. Look around, inside and outside of these walls. We are your neighbor, the one God calls us to love. Remind your neighbor, a better love no one can find than the love that has come from God and his Son, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Because he loves us and has freed us by his grace alone. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us confess our Christian faith with confidence and boldness, the words of the Apostles' Creed. They are found for us on page 8. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you.
Savior, thy dying love thou gavest me, nor should I aught withhold, dear Lord, from thee. In love my soul would bow, my heart fulfill its vow. Some offering bring thee now, something for thee. Amen. We can also pray the prayer of intercession. It's found for us on page 9.
Let us pray, brothers and sisters, for the Holy Church of God throughout the world, that God, the Almighty Father, gather and guide it so they may worship him in peace and tranquility.
Almighty and eternal God, you have shown your glory to all nations in Jesus Christ. Guide the work of the church. Help it to persevere in faith, proclaim your word, and bring salvation to people everywhere. Lord, in your mercy.
Let us pray for our pastors and teachers and all leaders of the church and for all the people of God.
Almighty and eternal God, your Spirit guides the church and makes it holy. Strengthen and uphold all who serve you and your people. Keep them in health and safety for the good of the church. Help each of us to do faithfully the work to which you have called us. Lord, in your mercy.
Let us pray for those who do not believe in Christ, that the light of the Holy Spirit may show them the way to salvation.
Almighty and eternal God, enable those who do not acknowledge Christ to receive the truth of the gospel. Help us, your church, to grow in love for you and for one another, so that we become more perfect witnesses of your love for all people. Lord, in your mercy.
Let us pray for those who serve in public office, that God may guide their minds and hearts, so that all of us may live in true peace and freedom.
Almighty and eternal God, graciously direct those who have been set in positions of authority among us, so that people everywhere may enjoy justice, peace, freedom, and a share in the goodness of your creation. Lord, in your mercy.
Let us pray that God, the Almighty and Merciful Father, may heal the sick, comfort the dying, give safety to travelers, and free those unjustly deprived of liberty.
Almighty and eternal God, you give strength to the weary and new courage to those who have lost heart. In your mercy, hear the prayers of all who call on you in any trouble, that they may have the joy of receiving your help in their need. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for the rain which we have received over the past few days. This rain is essential for so many reasons, providing and refreshing life, helping with fires, and more. At the same time, we ask that you provide what is needed in areas impacted by fire, that the needed rain not severely hamper recovery efforts. Thank you for people willing to search the impacted fire areas, for people putting on dinners, for people helping out one another in ways which we may not find out about on the news. Above all, thank you for your love, which is ongoing through all the ups and downs of this earthly life, and which will bring your people at last to heaven. For those able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth, thank you, Lord. You have watched over them through life to this point, and we trust you will continue to have them be a blessing to us and we to them. And thank you for blessing the marriages being celebrated in our midst. As you have forgiven us, may our husbands and wives be forgiving of one another, as we strive to live our lives as reflections of you. And in that light, we also pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We continue with the singing as printed out in our service bulletin, We Will Glorify.
Glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of hearts, who is the great.
God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
To highlight a couple of Bible study opportunities taking place, we have the discussion on church fellowship taking place right here in the church sanctuary, and also the topic Isaiah Gems, looking at prophecies regarding the Messiah that's taking place in our chapel that's in the next building over. And then we also have our Sunday school, and also then our teen discussion. Teen discussion takes place in the upper room here in this building. To our guests among us, we're glad that you are here. If you haven't stopped by our Welcome Center, please do so and check out materials that explain more about our mission. Just a reminder, Talent Night for our school, there was a special program that was supposed to be the other Friday, but got canceled due to smoke, and so it's been rescheduled for tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. So if you want some good entertainment, it won't be a long night, but it'll be a fun night, 6 o'clock. It'll take place in our multipurpose center. Advent by candlelight, please see the weekly news for more information about that. That's going to be held, Lord willing, next Sunday evening. Midweek Advent services begin on December 5th for three Wednesdays then, the 12th and 19th as well. Worship begins at 7 o'clock, but before worship we get fed so that we can get sleepy for the worship service. Oh, that's a good thing. We take care of the physical and the spiritual by God's grace. Worship begins at 7, and the meal begins at 5:30. There will be no Monday night worship in December. We do have one last Monday night service of this year tomorrow night. Our parade opportunity in Fair Oaks this coming Saturday. Again, see the weekly news for more information about that, how you want to help, or also just to be a spectator in lovely downtown Fair Oaks. Note more difficult to get to church next week due to the marathon that's going to be taking place next Sunday. So check out either that website or look at our weekly news for some advice. So if you're coming to early service, you might have to come a little earlier, get breakfast in the area. If you're coming to late service, check out the website, see if it'll impact you regarding that marathon. Special congregation meeting next week after the late service to discuss the recommendation of extending our 60% admin release position to 100% admin release position. So hear the rationale and discuss if we go forward on that next Sunday after the late service. LWMS, opportunity to show our missionaries our support, as there are a couple Christmas cards there by the LWMS bulletin board. Please take the time to at least sign the card. You're also welcome to add a brief note. Other than that, again, direct all the information and attention to the weekly news. Have a great day in the Lord. Greet one another in His name, our neighbor who God loves and has freed for such a purpose.